Number 3 in the Forrest Gump series, I Had a Destiny. Setting the scene. Forrest Gump's platoon was ambushed in Vietnam. Running into the thick of the ambush again and again, Forrest himself wounded, saved several members of the 4th platoon, including Lieutenant Dan Taylor. Finally, he carried his best old good friend Bubba out to what was supposed to be relative safety, only to have him die in his arms. Later, while recuperating in the hospital, Lieutenant Dan, who had lost both of his legs, said to Forrest, "I had a destiny. I was supposed to die with my men in the field, with honor, and you cheated me." This week, we're not going to talk so much about destiny as with life's disappointments. We will consider destiny in a later sermon in this series. We will not be talking about life's little disappointments, but rather looking at those profound and devastating disappointments that alter the course of our lives. Lieutenant Dan Taylor came from a long line of soldiers. A member of his family had fought and died on the field of battle in every one of America's wars. Lieutenant Dan's identity and self-image were wrapped up in being a soldier and dying with honor. And now he found himself in an army hospital with no legs, a lost sense of who he was, and what meaning his life was going to have from there on. Lieutenant Dan was not alone. This is an all too familiar story, as old as war itself. Forrest's wounds were minor, shot in the buttock. As he recalled, "They said that was a $1 million wound, but the Army must keep that money. I never saw a penny of it." But Forrest lost his best old good friend. And while that scar was not one he could show the president, that pain is also all too familiar a story, as old as war itself. Lieutenant Dan's loss was as dramatic as it was tragic. But life is full of less dramatic, but nonetheless life-altering disappointments. Disappointments that set folk adrift in search of a new sense of identity and new meaning in their lives. I've talked with many people who have felt such a loss over the loss of a job, the death of a spouse, the breakup of a marriage, a devastating accident or illness. Sometimes it's even more subtle, like the aging process gradually creeping up on you and then suddenly announcing that things have changed and will never be the way they used to be. In such cases, people cry out, "Who am I now? And where am I going?" We all have hopes and dreams, grander and more important to some than others, but we all have them. What do we do when we find new hope when the dream is shattered? Within the church, we frequently confront the question, why do bad things happen to good people? But that question is above our pay grade. It seems clear that bad things, sometimes tragically bad things, do happen to good people, and often there's nothing we can do to prevent it. The more important question for us as people of faith is, what do we do when bad things happen to good people? This is the arena in which we as Christians live. What do we do when dreams are shattered? For many of us, our sense of self and our self-worth are tied up in our life's goals and dreams. When the dream dies, we frequently do not know who we are any longer, and we struggle to find new meaning in our lives. Until about 15 years ago, I ran almost every day of my life. Always 20 miles a week, sometimes as many as 70. My great adventures were climbing mountains with my best old good friend, Reg. Then I began to have nosebleeds, and then blood clots, and then I fell and fractured my hip. I could no longer run. I dared not venture too far from a hospital. I gained 40 pounds, and my best old good friend, Reg, was killed in a bicycle accident. Since then, I've had far more good days than bad ones. Life has been really pretty good. But for a long time, as I lay in the hospital with packing stuffed up my nose and blood clots in my legs, I wondered if it might not have been better for me to have died when I was still engaged in chasing the dreams of a life that I thought would never end. I had worked hard to be where I was. I treasured the life that I had cultivated for myself, and I felt cheated. Unlike Lieutenant Dan, I still had my legs. I just couldn't use them the way I wanted. I know that many of you have poured yourselves into your family, your community, your career, good and laudable things. You created a life for yourself in which you had every right to take pride. You believed that your efforts would produce good fruit. Then, for some of you, the world disappointed you in a profound way, and nothing was ever the same, and you probably felt cheated. We would like to think that we have some control over life and where our things are going. But Lois had a parishioner who was a cardiac surgeon. He ate right, ran marathons, and was in perfect health until the day he wasn't. He had a heart attack in his 40s. We all know people who have been careful with money, who have lost their fortunes, their jobs, and been reduced to working below their talents. I have worked with people who have devoted themselves to their families, only to feel lost when facing a divorce, the irresponsibility of a spouse, the waywardness of a child, or a death close to them. In truth, for all of our hard work and dedication, there are no guarantees in this life, and there is much that is beyond our control. We never know what we're going to get. As much as what happens to and much of what happens to us, for good or for ill, is neither of our construct, nor is it our fault. Bad things happen to good people, and they are still good people. When we lay up treasures for ourselves and build our sense of self and self-worth on the accomplishments of our lives, life itself becomes fragile. The value of life is not found in the recognition of our accomplishments or in the accumulation of things. Rather, the meaning of life is found in how we deal with both gain and loss. As Rudyard Kipling wrote, "If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, yours is the earth and everything in it." Life is not about winning or losing. It's about living fully, whatever happens. It's about finding courage to press on in the face of devastating loss. Jesus proclaimed the love of God to the world not through his accomplishments or what he accumulated, but through being willing to suffer with and for others. This is what his kingdom, which is different from the kingdoms of the world, is all about. A kingdom not free from pain and adversity, but where people are bound together in love. Sometimes our suffering and loss is because we have loved and risked ourselves for others. Other times, in our suffering, we can see how deeply others care for us. What brings meaning and redemption to suffering is the knowledge of the love that binds us together. Our love for others, their love for us, and God's love for us all. When we can know that love through the pain, we see the beauty of life that does not fall prey to moth or rust, and where thieves or even failure and death and betrayal cannot take away. This is where our suffering is redeemed. Tim McGraw sang a song that has been popular for a long time that speaks of this kind of redemption. The song speaks of a man who has received a terminal diagnosis, a profound and devastating disappointment. He says, "Well, I finally read the good book, and I took a good hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. Someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying." Sometimes life's most profound pains cause us to re-examine our lives, gain a new perspective, and find new meaning, and sometimes even new hope. Bernie Taupin wrote a lyric that was set to music by his collaborator of 45 years, Elton John. It is about a man saying goodbye to his brother who lost the sight in both eyes in Vietnam. The lyric goes, "Daniel, my brother, you are older than me. Do you still feel the pain of the scars that won't heal? Your eyes have died, but you see more than I. Daniel, you're a star in the face of the sky." Daniel was leaving on a plane for Spain because it was the most beautiful place he could remember. Though he could no longer see, he wanted to be surrounded by the beauty of God's creation. Lieutenant Dan, after losing his way for a time, was reunited with Forrest, and through Forrest's loving support, his vision and hope were restored, and he was able to see once again the beauty of the world around him. Lieutenant Dan's newfound wealth could not restore his lost legs, although he was to get new legs, titanium alloy, the stuff they use on the space shuttle. But love restored his life and his hope, and he found something of beauty beyond his loss. What do we do when the dream is shattered? We keep faith that God has not abandoned us and that we will see the beauty of life once again. There's no cure for loss. Its pain is real. But when wounds are healed by love, the scars are beautiful. Loving and knowing we are loved, even through the pain, is the beauty of life that endures.